Hello and welcome to the IRPP's Interview with the Author series. My name is Nicola Johnston. I am joined today by my guests Tracy Derwing and Aaron Waugh. Tracy Derwing is a professor of teaching English as a second language at the University of Alberta and is co-director of the Prairie Metropolis Center for Research on Immigration, Integration, and Diversity. Aaron Waugh is an English in the Workplace instructor at Northwest College in Edmonton. They are authors of the new study, Language Skills and the Social Integration of Canada's Adult Immigrants, published by the IRPP. They join me today from Edmonton. Welcome, Tracy and Aaron.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So, Tracy, I'll ask you the first question. Your study looks at the social integration of immigrants and its relationship to knowledge of an official language. So, first off, can you tell us how you define and understand social integration?
Yeah, we've adopted Will Kimlicka's definition of social integration, which means developing networks of friends and neighbors, but also participating in more formal organizations. So, for instance, volunteering for a group or helping out at your kid's school, voting in elections. These are the sorts of things that bring people together in one way or another so that they feel part of a larger whole.
And so you look at a range of research findings, such as the 7-year longitudinal survey. So what do some of these findings tell us?
Well, we looked at language development in adults, both in that longitudinal study you mentioned and also in a study of immigrants' speaking and listening skills at the time that they took their citizenship. And one of our main findings in both of these studies was that groups from different language backgrounds develop their official language skills at different rates. So some achieve much higher levels in an official language than others. And the interesting question here is why. So we found that even when we controlled for education level and time of arrival in Canada and several other factors, exposure to an official language outside the language classroom made a huge difference to the learner's progress. And furthermore, one of the factors that determines exposure is culture. So those newcomers from cultures that have more in common with Canadian culture, at least on a superficial level, have an easier time developing informal, friendly relationships with people from outside their own ethnic group. So, for example, people from Slavic language backgrounds like Russian or Ukrainian fare better linguistically than do people who have whose first language is Mandarin. The Slavic language speakers report having more contact, more conversations with people in English than do Mandarin speakers. Now, of course, there are other factors here as well. You know, there are very strong Chinese communities into which Mandarin speakers can integrate, whereas, you know, there are Slavic language communities. They exist, but they're nowhere near as strong. And there's also the issue of racial discrimination. And this didn't come up in our studies, but certainly it has in others. And we know that it may be a determining factor in how much contact people have with others in the larger community. So it's important to note that although the adults in our studies varied considerably in the degree to which they mastered an official language, how their kids are doing in school is an indicator of how well the family is doing overall. So although both studies showed that Chinese adult immigrants tend not to do as well as one would hope linguistically, their kids are faring much better.
One of the things that your study also finds is that soft skills are just as important to integration as knowledge of an official language. So, Aaron, can you tell us what soft skills are and why they're important?
Sure, yeah. Well, soft skills are sometimes called the secret rules of language because they vary so much from one culture to the next. Sometimes people refer to these secret rules as pragmatic, and we notice them in both nonverbal and verbal forms of communication. For example, in the Canadian workplace, it's common when you meet someone to shake his or her hand firmly and establish eye contact. These two behaviors would demonstrate confidence and establish some degree of rapport and credibility with the person that you're meeting. But not all cultures believe that shaking hands and establishing eye contact builds relationship, and in some cases they may have the opposite effect. So the same goes for spoken language. I'd never ask someone, for example, if they were married or single after I just met them in the lunchroom at work, but in some cultures that would be completely normal. Of course, these are just simple examples at a basic level. Pragmatics can involve more high-stakes speech acts and interactions as well, like asking for a raise. You need to really know how to approach your boss, when is a good time to broach the subject, how to sell yourself with a kind of confident humility. So learning some of these cultural norms can help newcomers integrate more successfully. And we've also found that they can impact promotability, and that if the necessary soft skills for leadership haven't been acquired, all the technical savvy in the world may not get you to that next rung on the ladder. On the other side of the argument, Canadians can benefit from learning some general information about cultures and how they operate so that two-way communication can lead to more successful intercultural communication, not just at work, but in many different social contexts.
And so I'll direct this next question to the both of you. So what are some of your recommendations to improve the social integration of immigrants?
Well, we're suggesting expanding both the clientele and the content of federally funded language training programs. Within the current structure, temporary foreign workers and immigrants who have become Canadian citizens are not eligible for funded language training programs. Temporary foreign workers who in many cases have lived and worked in Canada seasonally for upwards of 25 years report problems communicating things like safety concerns on the job or negotiating work processes with their English-speaking coworkers. And immigrants who arrive in Canada and have to find work immediately to provide for their families in many cases simply don't have the time or the means to take advantage of the language training programs available. So if they then become citizens, they're no longer eligible for funded language training programs.
Well, and as Erin said, not only would we like to see an expansion of the types of newcomers who could be eligible for federal language training, but we argue for a much stronger emphasis on speaking and listening skills, including pronunciation, in LINC classes, which are the federally funded language programs for adults. We also think more optional volunteer programs for second language students should be implemented that give them opportunities for exposure to rich conversations outside of class. These are win-win situations for the organizations looking for volunteers and the volunteers themselves, but of course these would have to be monitored to make sure that the language students aren't exploited. And another language issue that has to do with immigrants' need to understand pragmatics or the secret rules of language is that there is not enough focus on pragmatics in LINC classrooms. So we'd like to see growth in the teaching of pragmatics both at higher levels of LINC and in workplace programs.
So Tracy spoke a little bit as well about volunteering, and what we see in some of the workplace programs and just in the community at large is that there are regional immigrant employment councils like TRIEC in Toronto and ERIC in Edmonton that are good examples of how Canadians are volunteering in mentorship programs to help immigrants build the necessary networks. Things like resume and interview skills as well to re-enter their professions in Canada. So these kinds of programs should really be available everywhere, not just in big cities, and the expansion of these programs could be supported by the federal government.
So finally, you make it clear that social integration is not just a one-way street and that native-born Canadians have a role to play too. So Tracy and Erin, what can native-born Canadians do to facilitate the social integration of newcomers in Canada?
Well, absolutely, communication is a two-way street. How can someone make new friends or develop new social networks if no one really wants to talk to them? So we conducted a study in a couple of engineering firms that had both native speakers of English and immigrants who spoke English as a second language, and they were all engineers, right? So we asked the Canadian-born English speakers what their ESL counterparts could do to improve their English, and their number one answer was to practice speaking. But we also asked the Canadian-born engineers if they were likely to initiate a social conversation with coworkers whose first language was not English, and a resounding majority said no. So here's the dilemma. How are immigrants supposed to find out about the secret rules of language if nobody tells them? How are they supposed to practice speaking English if Canadian-born people avoid talking to them? Well, sometimes that avoidance is because native English speakers worry that they won't understand the coworker's accent. And the research tells us that sometimes if listeners make more effort, they will understand accented speech. They just need to make themselves more familiar with their coworker's speech patterns. There are second language speakers, however, who have pronunciation difficulties, and in their cases, they need some help becoming more intelligible, and we need more professionally trained ESL teachers who can teach pronunciation to those individuals. Erin?
So Tracy talked a little bit about training second language speakers, and we were also thinking about the idea of training Canadian-born staff to listen to accented speech and also to have workplace initiatives that promote the development of intercultural communication skills for Canadian-born staff, which can lead to, in many cases, more innovative multicultural workplaces. There have been some documented cases where multicultural teams have actually outperformed their monocultural counterparts because of the creativity that ensues when cultural diversity is valued and leveraged. So we really see Canadians having an active role in this kind of two-way adaptation. Tracy?
And I'd just like to say one more thing about the responsibility of the Canadian-born. In Manitoba, a province which has grown its own immigration tremendously over the last 15 years, small communities wanting more immigrants have to sign a contract with the province promising that they will be welcoming communities. They recognize the importance of newcomers to the ongoing existence of their communities. These were communities that were dying, and unless they had an influx of people, they just weren't going to exist, as we've seen all over Canada in very small communities. But the people in these communities also realized that if they brought new people in, that they couldn't live in isolation, that they need human contact. And that is what Canadian-born people in general need to realize. It's so hard to immigrate. You know, it takes real guts and a risk-taking spirit. People who come here want to make a contribution. And if Canadian-born people reach out and encourage them, as we've seen in the past, immigrants will do well and will make that contribution through hard work and through paying taxes and so on. Not only provinces, but municipalities are starting to recognize that because cities and towns are where people live, even though municipalities don't have any formal jurisdiction over immigration, they have to be a partner in helping newcomers settle. So recently, the federal government has partnered with a number of municipalities in a program called Local Initiative Partnerships, or LIPS, the goal of which is to make communities more welcoming. Now, there are lots of well-intentioned people out there and lots of programs to support newcomers, but some of it is really quite piecemeal. And what we would really like to see is more leadership in ensuring that these efforts support the people for whom they're intended.
Thank you very much for your time today, Tracy and Erin.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Tracy Derwing is a professor of teaching English as a second language at the University of Alberta, and she's co-director of the Prairie Metropolis Research Center on Immigration, Integration, and Diversity. Erin Waugh is an English in the Workplace instructor at Northwest College in Edmonton. They are authors of the new study, Language Skills and the Social Integration of Canada's Adult Immigrants, published by the IRPP. We reached them today in Edmonton. You can download the IRPP study free of charge from our website at www.irpp.org.